Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson. We are looking into creation, so it's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. And I'm very glad to be back here discussing with you, of course, the Bible and some of my favorite subjects. Again, I would like to tell everyone, or I encourage everyone, hopefully, to start reading the Bible. And when I was young in the Lord, or a young man, I should say, and I started seeking God before I knew the Lord, I tried to read my Bible. And because I started in the wrong place, I kept getting discouraged when I would read it. And I know it says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read, not one of these will fail, not one will lack its mate. But the Bible is a lot like reading and writing and arithmetic. You cannot start in calculus. You can't start in algebra. You must start with addition and then subtraction and then multiplication and division and so on. And first you have to learn how to read before you can write a 50-word thesis on whatever. But the Bible is the same way. If you start at the right place, the puzzle pieces will start fitting together and it'll start making sense. But you have to start at the beginning of Christ's image. It's called the Logos. And it tells you what the Logos of Christ, the beginning of his image is. And it's found in Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. And before you understand faith, you must understand repentance, having a change of mind. Now, there's actually something that happens before a man repents. It says godly sorrow works repentance. It also says the kindness of God leads us to repentance. And it is God working in us where we start having a changeable mind, an open mind to God, and start seeking out of God's word and reading. You know, there are many denominations. I think there are a sum total of 3,000 different denominations in the world. I've read also where there are 3,000 different languages since the Tower of Babel fell. Now, Babel, you'll find that in the book of Genesis, and I'll do a teaching on that someday too, God willing. That is. And God saw them building this tower to God, they were basically making a big religion with the tower. God apparently didn't like what they were doing. And so he confounded their language. And Babel means confusion of language. You take two different ministers from two different denominations and see how much they agree with each other. And you know what? There are some, though, that are congenial and do listen to one another. I'm not saying this about all, but there are some that just don't want to, you know, even if the truth is right in front of them, they don't want to really admit it. They just want to argue. I used to say that I belonged to this one denomination when I was young and searching for the truth and did not yet really know God. And I just knew that the ministers took argument 101 because they were really good and they could stand toe-to-toe with anybody and convince them of anything, even if they were wrong. And then later on, I'd read in the scripture where it talked about some of the gifts of the Spirit, and I just heard this one church always say, well, you don't do that, you know, and they'd give all these reasons why. But then I go back and read in the Bible, and I wasn't quite seeing what they were trying to say, and it was because they had a denomination. And so they were always bending things in one direction or another. But God's word is infallible. His word is truth. And so if we want to know the truth, why don't we all, I'm going to challenge the state of New Mexico and the town of Albuquerque, Wouldn't it be great if everybody was reading their Bible every day, as much as your eating could take? And I'm going to be someplace this weekend. It's the Marriott. I'm going to be handing out daily reading cards for one thing. And I want to, actually, by the time this show airs, it will be passed. I just thought about that. But there is, I'm going to try to get into the public, try to hand out daily reading cards. And I would suggest starting with the New Testament. And maybe we'll go out door to door and so on and pass these out. I would like to see all of Albuquerque and all of New Mexico doing their daily reading. And we'll find some way to get it out to everybody that we can and everybody that will listen. And you can turn things around. You can turn a country's economy around. You can turn the peace of a country around. You can turn the divorce rate around. Did you know that the murder rate, I heard this on the TV, the murder rate has been cut in half. And I don't know if it's still on that trend, but the Albuquerque police, it was on TV once, and I talked to a police officer. I asked him specifically, and my wife and I have been praying when we moved here we started coming here about a year ago. We started praying for the welfare of Albuquerque, and it tells us all to do that, to pray for the welfare. And we started praying for the welfare of New Mexico. But wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? This is one thing. So you might be Baptist, you might be Methodist, you might be Presbyterian, you might be Church of Christ, and so on. But the one thing that could bring us all together is the Bible. And if we look at the Bible like the Bereans did, that they received the word with readiness of mind and then searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so, the Bible is one thing that if we put that in front of our eyes, that could bring mankind to God and bring peace within mankind. So anyway, I just thought I would open that up to people and encourage people, again, to get up in the morning and get up and read your Bible, read as much as you can, then ask God what he means by it, and then go to bed at night and think about the things you read in the scriptures every day. We have a method of reading the Bible where you can actually read through the whole Bible in a year, and you read through the book of Psalms twice and the book of Proverbs twice. And those are really good books to do twice a year. I would suggest to everyone to start in the New Testament. Well, we're going to get back on track here. We've been studying creation, and we did Christ in the eternal past, and God the Father in the eternal past, and in Psalms 90, verse 2, it says God is from everlasting to everlasting. Then we found out about Jesus, that he was in the beginning with God. And so Jesus is from everlasting to everlasting also. And then in the last tape, we brought up Melchizedek, and who I think is the Holy Spirit. But look that up for yourself. There's many indications it is. This Melchizedek that is specifically talked about in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. He had no father, no mother, nor beginning of days, nor end of life. He made like unto the Son of God. Apparently, he took on a human form at one time when he met Abram, or Abraham, like it says in the New Testament. And so if you put all that together, made like unto the Son of God, it cannot be Jesus. And plus, he has neither pedigree. He doesn't have a tribe. And we know that Jesus is of the tribe of Judah. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he didn't have parents. And of course, Jesus, when he was born on earth, the Holy Spirit fathered him, and his mother was Mary. But anyway, that's when he took on the form of a man to take the sins of the world upon himself to set us free from sin and death. But anyway, so the Melchizedek that is described in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, his name is King of Righteousness. Remember in Romans 14, 17, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. He's also the King of Peace. Now, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. In Isaiah, It calls him Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of peace on the throne of David. And he is known as the Prince of Peace in Isaiah. The Holy Spirit, or Melchizedek, is the King of Peace. There are some places that it shows the Holy Spirit has preeminence. Now, there's one place that is very interesting in particular. It says, you can blaspheme the Father and there is forgiveness. I wouldn't want to try it. I'm not making any suggestions of doing this. Please, it says we are not to take the Lord's name in vain even. And that means even to be useless. We should take his name respectfully and especially not speak evil. Blasphemo means to speak evil. And of Jesus, if his name is blasphemed, there is forgiveness, but there is never forgiveness for the blaspheme to speak evil of the Holy Spirit. So there are some things in here that if we want to learn God from not the way man's going to explain all this away, but combining the scripture with the scripture, we can see some things come out about Melchizedek, the King of Righteousness, the King of Peace. He is a priest. Jesus is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Read Hebrews chapter 7. And we want to give great respect and honor also, not only to God the Father and to his Son Jesus the Christ, but also to the Holy Spirit. So we went through those things. And I don't know if I brought this up, but there is a place in Revelation. Now, this is kind of unusual because I started picking up on this. I've been reading the Bible for 36 years. Every year, I try to approach it with a fresh mind, not forgetting what is truth, but to always have a fresh mind every time I read the Bible. And I'm going to read in Revelation chapter 5, starting in verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and it's talking about God's throne in heaven, if you want to read chapter 5. And it's the story of God holding the book in his right hand. And this is the book with the seven seals. And then in chapter 6, the seals are opened by the Lamb. But anyway, we are looking at chapter 5, verse 6, and it says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the world, earth. So here it says that the Lamb, Jesus Christ, when the heavenly vision is shown of him, it says he has seven eyes. Now, I don't believe it's eyes the way we think, because he calls these eyes the seven spirits of God. Well, lo and behold, here in Isaiah, and this is something, like I said, I started looking about 10 or so years ago, and every time I'd read through the Bible, I'd make more notes on it. And so then another year I saw this, and there shall come forth, this is Isaiah 11, 1 and 2, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Now, Jesse is of the tribe of Judah. Now, we're talking about Jesus here. There will come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So if you look at the menorah, the golden candlestick in the temple, on the left side as you enter the temple through the east door from the outer court into the holy place, on the left is the menorah, and it has seven lamps on top of it, seven branches. And those lamps were to be filled with oil and burned continually. And they had wicks, and the wicks were to be trimmed. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in our life. It trims our wick. It trims our flesh, the things the flesh want to do. And the Holy Spirit will, the Spirit of the Lord, or Yahweh, is the main branch. I like that word, Yahweh. The Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him. So that's the main branch. Then off maybe to the left side, I'm guessing here, totally guessing. You have the Spirit of Wisdom, but I'm not guessing about that. Where it's placed, I'm not sure. But anyway, here's the next branch, the Spirit of Wisdom. That's branch number two. And because the first one, the Spirit of Yahweh, goes all the way up. If you look at the menorah, it goes all the way up and it ends in a bowl on top or a lamp. Then another lamp comes off the left side, and that, let's say that's the Spirit of Wisdom. Then off the right side opposite, the Spirit of Understanding. Then you go up a little bit, and here is another branch that goes up, and the Spirit of Counsel. Opposite it, the Spirit of Might. Then a little higher, another branch comes up, the Spirit of Knowledge, and then opposite, the Fear of the Lord. And when a man has those seven things, he will see the right way. Remember, we talked in the last time that amartia, to sin, means to miss the mark. And that's because we are after the fallen nature of our father, Adam. And because of him, we have bad vision, shall we say, and because we have fleshly vision. And we need the Holy Spirit glasses or some kind of radial keratotomy or what, you know, whatever they call it, RK, or we need a new corneal transplant. We need a new Holy Spirit transplant, which is true. I'm thinking this is fun to say this, but it's absolutely true. We need new eyes. We need the Spirit of the Lord, the Yahweh. Who is Jesus? The whole thing was pointing at Jesus in the Old Testament. This is Jesus, Yahweh. As shall rest upon him in the Spirit of Wisdom. In the New Testament, that word wisdom is Sophia. But it's Sophia, or like our word sophistication, in the things of God. And it's a way, if you have Sophia in the New Testament, I can't remember what the word is in the Hebrew, but if you do in the Old Testament, or in the Sophia, you can be pleasing to God and man. Jesus, it says that he was pleasing to God and man. It does say that. And it shows you how to walk in this world and not offend people, but be pleasing to God. So wisdom is earthly. Then the opposite branch is understanding. And understanding is more heavenly. And I'll tell you why I think this way. And there's a Psalms that said, by wisdom God founded the earth. So it helps keep your feet on the ground. And by understanding, he established the heavens. So that's important too. But understanding is more heavenly. It's how to walk in the heavenly realms of God, pleasing to God. Then the Spirit of Counsel. So we make right decisions. The Holy Spirit will give that to us. And might. Did you know God doesn't do well with cowards? That's not good. And it talks about no cowards are going to enter God's kingdom. And we're to be mighty. We are to be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. And another place it says in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. Dunamos, dynamite, when the Holy Spirit has come within you. And the Spirit of Knowledge, we are to know about God. We are not to be in ignorance. There's one place where they were ignorant for a while, and God said the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. And the last one is the fear of the Lord. Now, I was going to explain that way away when I was a young lad, and I'm going, because I'd heard this in Christian churches for so long, I'm going, well, fear, that doesn't mean to be in mortal terror. That just means to be in reverence of God. In the New Testament, you look up the word phobos, like our word phobia. That's the way that we are to be with God. Now, let me explain that, please. Give me a moment here before you click off your radio dial. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Come and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And so on. Now, I know it says there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. And I'll tell you why I think it says that. Because now we have the Holy Spirit in us in the New Testament, and we have the love of God. Once a person becomes Holy Spirit filled, they get this new love, this new agape love in their hearts. And before, we were not walking in a way pleasing to God because our eyesight needed corrected. And so we were always in fear of God. Now, when I used to do highway engineering, we had what they call the fog stripes, that you'd see those solid lines and you didn't want to go outside of those because there wasn't much of a shoulder and you'd drive off the road. But now they've got those jiggle bars that they carve into the asphalt that makes your tires go, you know, down the road, and it shakes the whole car, and you think your car's falling apart. Those are to put the fear of God in you so you get back on a highway when you start falling asleep. And I used to think, and so I was thinking, well, I design highways. And I thought, well, God's way is a highway. It actually uses the word. And when we stay on the highway, you're just driving down the road, and everything's going well, and oh, beautiful scenery and so on. All of a sudden, you hit the jiggle bars, fear, and it gets you back on the highway, you see. That's about the best in 36 years of reading the Bible. I just made it probably too simple, but anyway, I believe when I am really walking right with God, walking in the fear of God, but not, I don't feel that fear, but I'm in the middle of the highway, let's say, I have enough respect for the outside edge that I stay out of it, I don't sense any fear at all. And yet when I get close and I get awakened and that my car's about ready to shake apart, it shocks me into getting back onto the road because I'm in danger. And I wonder if God doesn't give us that to keep us in the highway. It's just one thought of mine. Anyway, so that is probably enough on the Holy Spirit. And I know I said there's 9 aspects of the Holy Spirit, and then I read this about the 7 eyes of Christ, which are the 7 spirits of God. And if you just tuned in, the 7 spirits of God, I believe, are listed in Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 2. Now, I wanted to finish up with one thing before we get into the creation of the angelic host, and we'll do that real soon. But I want to leave you with Hebrews chapter 1 and reflecting back onto the part we went over, not the last time, but the time before, about Christ being the creator and being the exact image of God the Father. And this is Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And I just want to leave you with this thought. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers in the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. God made the worlds through Jesus. It was through whom, through Jesus, he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus is so much higher than the angels. He has never said to any of the angels, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." He said that to Jesus. And we just wanted to make sure of that. So now that we're going to go into the creation of the angelic host and so on, I just wanted to make that very clear, because some people get off into worshiping of angels, and that can be a dangerous thing. So anyway, we'll just state that God is far above the angels, but we still want to find out about this angelic host it's talking about. Well, my friends, the time has gone by too quickly. We will continue on the subject of the creation of the angelic host the next time we get together. Until then, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. If you have any questions or comments, please call me, Andy, at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. That's Andy at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. 205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."